The first time he mentioned the promotion, it wasn't in an email or a meeting room. It was in his apartment, with the lights low and my clothes on the floor like an afterthought. He didn't promise it outright. He didn't need to. He talked about timing, about openings, about how leadership needed people they could trust. He said my name slowly, like it already belonged to a different title. I remember lying there afterward, my skin still warm, thinking I had crossed some invisible threshold, not just with him, but with my career. Nothing was written, nothing was recorded, but everything was understood. When the weeks passed and nothing changed, the sex shifted. It stopped feeling like something I was choosing and started feeling like something I owed. Every touch carried an invoice. I couldn't see. Every night I stayed felt like a payment toward a future that kept being postponed. That was when I realized the most dangerous contracts aren't signed, they're implied. And once you agree to them, walking away costs more than staying ever did. I had been with the company for 6 years when he started paying attention to me in that way, long enough to know how things really worked, short enough to still believe effort mattered. The firm was Madrid-based, mid-sized, ambitious, and constantly talking about growth as if growth were real. We worked ridiculous hours. We drank together after deadlines. Boundaries were talked about in policy documents, but lived very differently in practice. He was my direct supervisor's supervisor. High enough to matter, low enough to still be hands-on. Spanish, like me. Same humor, same cultural shorthand. He knew how to make conversations feel easy, familiar, safe. He had a way of leaning in when you spoke that made you feel listened to, even when you weren't sure he'd heard a word. At first, it was praise, specific praise. He noticed details others ignored. He commented on how I handled a difficult client, how I navigated internal politics without making noise. He told me I had executive instincts. That phrase landed hard. I hadn't heard it said about me before, not out loud. The company was restructuring again. New roles were being hinted at but not defined. Everyone was restless. Everyone was performing. When he started looping me into conversations I technically didn't need to be in, I told myself it was merit. When he asked my opinion on decisions that would never have my name attached, I told myself this was how you got seen. The first warning sign was how often those conversations happened outside the office. Drinks that ran late. Messages that came after midnight. Nothing explicit. Nothing you could point to and say this crossed a line. Just a gradual erosion of formality that felt flattering instead of dangerous. He never said he wanted me. He said he admired me. He said he trusted me. He said I was different from the others, more grounded, more strategic. He asked about my frustrations. I told him about the promotion I'd been circling for 2 years, always close enough to taste, never close enough to secure. He listened, like that information mattered. When it finally turned physical, it felt almost inevitable, like gravity finishing its work. One night turned into another. His place became familiar. The sex wasn't wild or cinematic. It was intimate in a way that blurred lines fast. He talked afterward about the company, about the future, about how transitions took time, but loyalty was remembered. I didn't ask for anything. I didn't have to. The implication sat between us, heavy and warm. I told myself I wasn't trading sex for advancement. I told myself this was a relationship that happened to exist alongside my career. That was the story I needed to sleep. The problem with unspoken agreements is that they live entirely in your head until they don't. I started noticing how often I adjusted my behavior around him. I stayed later than I needed to. I made myself available. I answered messages immediately. When he suggested meeting privately to discuss strategy, I went, even when I was exhausted. The sex changed first. It became less about connection and more about reassurance. I caught myself wondering if I was still pleasing him, if I was still worth the trouble. That thought alone should have stopped me. Instead, it hooked me deeper. At work, nothing shifted officially. No announcement, no new title, just more responsibility without recognition. Projects that stretched me thin but didn't move me up. When I asked carefully about timelines, he smiled and said these things were delicate, that pushing too hard could backfire, that he was protecting me. I believed him because believing him kept the story intact. The alternative was admitting I'd built my sense of progress on a fantasy he controlled. I started seeing how others looked at us, the glances, the pauses in conversation when I walked into a room he'd just left. No one said anything, but no one had to. In environments like that, silence is a language. One night, after another delayed promise, I pulled away. I said I needed clarity. Not in those words, but close. He didn't get angry. He got distant. He reminded me gently that nothing had ever been promised, that he had always been honest, that my expectations were my own. That was the moment the debt became explicit, not spoken, but felt. If I wanted things to go back to how they were, I knew what was required. If I wanted distance, I knew what it would cost. I stayed. I hated myself for it, but I stayed. Each time felt heavier, less consensual in the way that matters, even if I never said no. I was complicit in my own erosion, and that truth burned. When the promotion was finally announced, it went to someone else, a man with less experience and better optics. I congratulated him with a smile that cracked my jaw. That night, when my supervisor reached for me, I felt nothing but a cold, hollow anger. I told him it was over. He nodded like he'd expected it, like this was just another phase concluding. He wished me well. The fallout wasn't dramatic, it was administrative. Subtle shifts in assignments, invitations that stopped coming, feedback that grew vague and lukewarm. No retaliation you could prove. Just a quiet narrowing of opportunity. I stayed another year. Long enough to rebuild some dignity. Long enough to see how easily the machine absorbed stories like mine and kept running. When I finally left, no one asked why. I don't tell this story for sympathy. I tell it because it taught me something brutal and lasting. Power doesn't always coerce loudly. Sometimes it whispers, waits, lets you walk into the trap thinking you chose it. I learned that desire mixed with ambition is volatile. That silence can be consent and camouflage at the same time. That when something feels like an understanding but leaves no trace, it will always be interpreted in favor of the person with more to lose on paper and less to lose in reality. I still work. I still lead. I still recognize patterns before others name them. And I know now that when something is offered only in private, it will disappear the moment it costs the other person anything at all.